We're typically going this way. Are you ready? Well, we can get started. I don't see Gloria. Say, Art, do you want to just start anyway? And then that'll give, we don't want to rush Gloria in any way, so we could have you start and then come back once we're settled in.
Yeah, apparently I've had somewhat of a different experience, unfortunately. We had quite a claim, and my wife passed away about 2 months ago. But we bought the policy in 97. It was a Fortis policy that became then John Hancock, and I'd known people that had issues at that point, and actually redirected what was insurance was life insurance premiums to buy long-term care insurance, and constructed a policy around what I could afford. The most important part being the cost of living increase, as it turned out. We ended up in assisted living in December of 2012 and then moved to a care suite. I think what happened was if I would not have had this long-term care insurance, or Penny wouldn't have had the long-term care insurance, we would have had a choice. We ended up being able to live together, which was important to us. We were able to afford two-bedroom units, both in assisted living and in a care suite. I think the choice would have been not as good care or not being together or using up all our savings. This allowed me to be a caretaker instead of a caregiver, and I think that, and my experience with John Hancock, by the way, I know what Penny had was unusual and had a lot of symptoms that were covered, so there was just never a problem. John Hancock was very good to us, never questioned anything. So, I understand that the policy that I was able to get in 97 was significantly better than what's available now. We had unlimited lifetime. We had a 5% cost of living. I was pleasantly surprised from all of this is I got back half of my premium from John Hancock for mine because it had a survivor benefit that I wasn't even aware of. So, as I say, my experience, unfortunately, I had to make a claim, but it was very positive.
Thank you, Art. Gloria, we'll come back to you if you're ready. Gloria, if you would, or Art, can you grab? Yeah, thank you.
I took out long-term care insurance when I was 70, and this was 5 years after I had retired. And I didn't anticipate using it until some far future date, but I became ill when I was 83 and had to move to a long-term care facility. And my insurance covered my entire expenses for living there for 5 years. And now I've outlived that 5 years, and I'm able to manage on my investments. And the great thing was that during those 5 years, I was able to put my money into my investments program. So now I'm able to live on my investments and able to have a very rich, full life. Deb? What do you want me to say? Oh, all right. I've been the volunteer social worker for the congregation of my church for 20 years and just gave up my license after I moved into long-term care because I'm no longer driving and it was too difficult to do that. But my friends point out that people don't care whether you're licensed or not, they'll still come to you, which has proven to be the case. I'm also actively involved with an organization that sends medical supplies to Bolivia. And for my 70th birthday, people made contributions that enabled this nonprofit to build two clinics in Bolivia called Clinica Gloria 1 and Clinica Gloria 2, which I have visited. And then my third activity is to teach conversational English to the spouses of foreign students at the university. And because I'm not driving, and because DART recently stopped providing service in Ramsey County, I used Metro Mobility to get there. And I have these students who come from all over the world. Recently, I counted. Last year, we had 40 students from 15 countries. And I teach with a friend. It's very informal. We meet for an hour and a half every week. Sometimes it takes me an hour and a half to get there because I have to use Metro Mobility. And then I get to ride all over St. Paul. So I have and I'm also on the welcoming committee where I live, which is something that I really enjoy. And I'm out and about just about every day. My goal is always to be the most active person at Sholem East, and so far I have achieved that.
Thank you, Gloria. Thank you so much. Thank you for being here. David?
Yes, I'm David Geis. I'm here representing my parents. They are now deceased, but they bought a policy in 1993 through Travelers, which became MetLife. There was only one increase, 39% increase, which happened in 2004, which also part of the increase was they did raise their daily rate from $80 to $104. When they bought the long-term care insurance, it was part of a overall estate planning, so it wasn't conceived to be something that would cover every single need that they need, that other things would be covered out of pocket. So my dad, over the years, paid $30,312 in premiums and was paid out $104,877 in claims. If you were to put that money in the beginning, that would be equivalent to about a 7% interest rate annually. My mom paid about $13,048 in premiums, and her claim paid out $138,553, which comes to an astonishing 17% annual rate of return, which is pretty hard to do on an annual basis, obviously. The insurance company MetLife was very responsive to the payments of claims for both my dad. That was for the years of 2010 through 2012, and for my mom between the years of 2008 and 2013. The policy did work out as designed, and there weren't any issues, unlike what appears to be happening with other families. They did use like a third party people that would test my parents and stuff for whether they were supposed to receive the benefits, and obviously the third party company was trustworthy. That having that long-term care policy allowed them to pay for caregivers in their home, except for the last 4 months of their lives, they were moved into memory care units. My peers, many of which their parents never did invest in any long-term care insurance, and the fact that my parents did it was allowed them to have caregivers paid so that the burden wasn't on me and my siblings, at least not 100%. And whereas my peers that many of which have parents that never invested in any long-term care insurance. They're having to do all the caregiving for their family, mother or father. Excuse me. I guess I don't have anything further to say, but I do appreciate your taking the time to have this hearing and listening to all the consumers.
Thank you, David. Thanks for being here. Robert.
My name is Bob Deese. I live in Bloomington. 19 years ago, my wife and I bought long-term because it was a part of a package as I was getting ready to retire that I felt that we needed to do, and we were blessed and lucky enough to be able to afford to do so. During that period of time, I have paid approximately $28,000 in premiums, and there have been two increases along the way. However, if you put that into perspective, if I were to go into a facility, and I honestly hope that I won't have to and that the insurance company can keep the money, but if I had to go, it's only going to take about 4 months for that at the rate that is being charged for me to pay for back that premium. To me, that's a good value and gives me comfort and reassurance. Now, I realize that I'm not maybe the typical Minnesotan because we've been, as I say, lucky and blessed. I want to tell you briefly about a friend of mine that is a patent attorney for 3M for 25 years. We traveled together, good friends. He developed Alzheimer's 6 years ago. When I bought the policy, he and his wife also did. Dick has been in a treatment facility for 6 years with the majority, 95% of his costs covered by his long-term care policy. So those, that's a good thing. You people are in the insurance business are doing some good things. Having said that, I'm thinking about 10,000 people a day that are retiring, and I think you got a long way to go. We need to get more involved, when I say we, the insurance companies, to be able to provide more help for people down the road. And I would urge you to take that task on as efficiently and as soon as you can. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you. Dave.
Good morning. Thanks for your invitation. Thanks to Deb for inviting me as well. My name is David Shuby. I'm 73 years old. My wife, Christy, died from complications of Alzheimer's about 5 years ago. Over the years, we had listened to Bruce Helmer on WCCO radio in the morning in his program called Your Money. Kind of developed a trust just on that radio program because I could kind of understand what he said. Made sense to me. Wasn't a bunch of gibberish. So we decided to engage him as our financial advisor. So we sat down with him, and one of the first things he said was, something you may want to consider, that got our attention, something you may want to consider is long-term care insurance. I never thought about it before because my wife's aunt had it. It was not a good investment. But here were the facts. I had four uncles who lived into their 90s, 1 to 99. We both had aunts who lived into their hundreds. One was 108. So for us, that made perfect sense. So Bruce engaged Deborah and found a couple of policies for us. Another thing I liked about Bruce, he wasn't pushing a particular product. He went to Deborah and said, what can you find for us? So Deborah found two. We picked the one for Allianz. In early, when I was 61, I took early retirement, and I took care of Christy at home for 2 years. It became a 24/7 responsibility. It was exhausting. I needed special locks on the doors to keep her from wandering outside.
She didn't want me there, didn't recognize me. One of the things I could count on in the morning was she always wanted toast. So I could make some toast, scrunch up her meds, spread them across the piece of toast, cover them up with jams or jellies, and that worked to kind of keep her calm. It was just an absolutely exhausting time. It kind of got to the point where she wouldn't shower, wouldn't bathe, wouldn't let me help her. She wore the same clothes over and over and over again for days. At some point, I said, I just can't do this anymore. So I went back to Bruce and my team, and they helped me find some home care that worked for a while. And then they also helped me find the Wellstead of Rogers. At that time, it was a kind of a one-of-a-kind Alzheimer's facility in the region. It was organized by 9 different households. Each household had a different caregiver ratio based on the level of care requirement. It was also a beginning-to-end facility. Unlike many of our nursing homes or care facilities, you get to the end, then you have to move someplace else. So she was there for 5 years. She received just outstanding nursing and staff care there, was able to die with dignity, die peacefully. Within a few months after we moved, they were able to take away all the meds. So she was living there with full care, full caring care, with no medication. She had this peaceful life for 5 years just because she was in a place like the Wellstead of Rogers. That allowed me to do some recovering myself and get my life back together. You know, she was a part-time nursery school teacher, and I was a middle manager type. A couple times I would be out looking for a job because of reorganizations, so we had some retirement funds, but we weren't prepared to come up with the almost $400,000 that Allianz paid for the policy that we had. So I'm grateful, very grateful for the long-term policy we had, to Bruce for his suggestions, to Deb for finding us the one that that works so well for us. And by the way, Allianz was just incredible in their response for processing claims and helping us work through the process. So I'm grateful to you, Deb, grateful to Bruce. Actually look forward to July when I get my long-term premium, because it's still affordable to me. However, 15 years ago, almost 15 years ago, we signed this contract, this policy, in good faith that it would be there for us, and it certainly was for her. And I hope it's there for me when it comes my turn, which could be 20, 25 years from now based on my genetics. So thank you for listening to my story.
Thank you. Thank you, David. Mary.
I'm Mary Anderson, and my husband, Harlan Anderson, to my right. I'm going to briefly give you an overview and then let him fill in some more of the specifics as we continue. We live in a farm near Cokato, in rural Cokato, and it was settled by the Anderson ancestors in 1871. My dad passed away 10 and a half years ago. My mom passed away 7 months ago. After Dad passed away, I was Mom's assisted living from a distance, 110 miles, for the next 3.5 years. She lived in a small community, rural community in south central Minnesota, and I would travel at least every 2 weeks to help take care of her food, clean clothes, housing situations, financial, which we experienced 2 significant identity theft situations, as well as medical. And then she fell and cracked her hip, which took her to a nursing home for recovery, where they discovered her memory challenge. So She was a resident there for the next 6.5 years until she recently passed away. At the nursing home admissions, when she was admitted 6.5+ years ago, the admissions person said, "Does your mom have long-term care insurance?" And I said, "No, she doesn't." And then I asked, "So do many residents here have long-term care insurance?" And it was about a 60-bed facility. And they said, "No, not really. But if you have a farm, you really should have long-term care insurance." My husband and I had been looking at long-term care insurance, but this geared us up and put us into faster mode to start investigating. As I said before, we live on and farm the Anderson family farm that was settled in 1871, 144 years ago. Our two adult children are the fifth continuous generation, and our two young grandsons could be the sixth continuous generation. And preserving the heritage and the continuation of the farm is really important to us. So that was the first major motivating factor. For many years, I was an extension educator with the University of Minnesota, and my educational programming was around family financial education. It covered everything from youth to senior, aging seniors. And I guess as I want to interject here, being an extension educator, I was a federal employee, and I had the opportunity to take out long-term care insurance through the federal government from which I worked or was employed. But there were some reasons why that didn't feel comfortable, and so we chose, after looking around, to go with Deb Newman, long-term care, and we have been extremely pleased with our policy. We took it out in 2008. We really like the positive features in our contract of the Minnesota Partnership Program, as well as the spousal care, share care. Those were two features that really were impressive to us. We have had no rate increases, and we've had no need for it thus far. As I indicated, my work with the Extension Service was family financial education. Long-term care was one of the tools that we encouraged when folks were planning for retirement. But, you know, we all get busy with life, and we tend to put things off. Or too many people believe, "I'm not going to need long-term care insurance." Or they believe, "My children are going to take care of me." Or they may wait too long, and then their age or their health makes it prohibitive or restrictive with the cost of what they have to pay. And besides preserving the heritage and the continuation of the family farm, we really do not want to expect our children to have to take care of us. We feel very good about our long-term care coverage, and we hope that we never have to use it, just as some of the other panel members have said. But if we do, it's in place, and we feel very good about it. So with that, I would like to encourage others to investigate this opportunity sooner, not later. And then my husband, Harlan. Okay.
Welcome.
Thank you for this opportunity. My wife did a very good job of explaining a little bit about it. I'd like just to make a couple comments. First of all, so you people kind of understand that when you have a family farm like I do, it's not looked at as a pot of money like they talk about. This farm is worth so many dollars an acre and so many acres. My father before me, who's been gone 46 years, said, "Well, 100 acres is 100 acres, whether it's $100 an acre, $1,000 an acre." But realize that for farmers like us, the farm is not a big money pot. It'll generate money, but it's not a big money pot. It's really an heirloom. And so I feel my dad would say, "Well, I'm just here for a while to play with it." And My grandmother played with it for a while. He played with it. Now I've played with it, and now my sons are going to play with it. So it's not quite the same as having a big CD or something someplace that you can draw on. So we fight to keep our heirloom, or whether it's our old family Bible that came across from Sweden or whatever. But the farm is viewed as an heirloom, and so we're going to fight to protect it, and that's why our interest in long-term care. The other thing is that, so you understand that sometimes farmers get a little bit funny about that kind of stuff. I worked and developed public policy since 1972, primarily in the area of agriculture. And I will tell you that one of the best pieces of legislation, at least that I've seen in my career, is the Minnesota Partnership. Maybe I don't understand it completely, but it doesn't appear like it costs the taxpayers any money. But it gives people like me a significant incentive to look to make sure we're not a public burden, because it encourages us to carry long-term insurance. And the state says, you know, if you carry long-term insurance, we're going to be a little bit nicer to you than we are somebody that ignores us and thinks that we should pay the public should pay the whole bill. So I will tell you that the Minnesota Partnership that you have in your long-term care is extremely important to encourage people like me to take long-term care. Many of you talked about, I think it was John that mentioned his insurance policy only covers nursing homes. My mother, who recently passed away, I was kind of overseeing her stuff, and when she was at a time in which she could consider long-term care, we looked into it, and probably the biggest thing that stopped me from asking her, inviting her to invest in it, is the fact it was only for nursing home. So I would say that the change in the policy so that you could have nursing home, assisted living, home care, all that stuff, is also a really, really big plus to long-term care insurance, because my mother, we have two houses on the farm, and she lived in the back house, she said. And she lived there up until about 2 months before she passed away. And even at 92, she would go down to the nursing home and have lunch with the people, and she'd say she had to go down and visit the old people. But having the ability to live on the farm and watch her kids and her grandkids and her great-grandkids enjoy this heirloom was really important. She never had long-term care insurance, but she benefited from what the intention of the policy is. The last thing I'm going to say, and I don't know if it's safe for me to sit where I'm sitting when I say this, but a comment I would make to the Commissioner of Commerce is, I think people need to, we're not big supporters of government, but like the previous speaker said, there's some real pluses. I would ask the Commissioner of Commerce to look a lot harder at licensing agents. I think you've heard people before today talk about, well, I need to know exactly what I'm covered for. I think it's time to understand that an insurance agent is not just a peddler out there selling a fire policy. When I talk to my fire, I have a lot of businesses and I have a lot of insurance policies, and when I talk to my fire insurance agent, I just say, don't tell me what I'm covered for, tell me what I'm not covered for, because that's what you're going to tell me afterwards. So I think it's really important. The state of Minnesota can do a lot for its citizens if you just make her job a lot tougher. If you can listen to the presentations, it's almost important as your medical doctor. I don't think people have looked at insurance agents in that light, but I think that's how important they are, because they need to make sure people understand what the policy is, what they're covered for, what they're not covered for. My wife and I are very fortunate. We like our policy, but not everybody can afford this policy. But when you do buy insurance, it's always important to know what you're covered for, what you're not covered for, what your options are, what your costs are. And that's why a good qualified agent is going to be really important. And I'd rather answer your questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Harlan. Deb?
Could I just interject? And based on what he just said, Deb Newman's insurance agency did an excellent job of outlining what we were covered for and what we were not covered for.
Thank you. So,
Deb, we're at past the hour, yeah. But I know you do have a few things in.
And I've been succinct. And I am Deb Newman, the founder of Newman Long-Term Care, which is a firm that's been selling only long-term care solutions for 25 years. And we have over 25,000 policyholders. And so, Mike, that tells me that maybe we've sold over 10% of the policies in Minnesota. However, we are licensed in all 50 states, but we do most of our business in the upper Midwest and Minnesota. Over the years, we've sold policies with 26 different insurance companies, with over 80 different policy series, and we service all of that one policy at a time, and we know what every single policy that we've ever sold says. And we've reviewed those policies with thousands of people. We have obviously experienced premium increases on nearly all of these companies, and while these are incredibly difficult conversations, we've dedicated ourselves to helping those customers make informed decisions to be able to make changes if they need to. And we've maintained over 99% of our policyholders have kept the insurance even with the increases. And for that, I want to thank the insurance companies as well for offering us the flexibility to change benefit options when necessary to help people maintain their coverage. We still have some policies in force that are very old that are just nursing home with maybe 50% home care, and we have been able to get those policies to pay for assisted living because of the way that in Minnesota they're often licensed as services separately so that we can get the claim to pay the home health care part for the services. The one thing I want to point out is that when we started in this business, the average age of people that were buying this was in their 70s, and now the average age is 57. So we have a really much more informed consumer now, bright, articulate people that are working and making smart decisions. So that has really changed. And a significant part of our business is in the employer marketplace, and so we do a fair amount of business at the employer worksite, and that average age actually is 45. So we are getting people to make decisions earlier on if it's presented in the workplace. And so anything that can be done to encourage the insurance carriers to bring solutions in for workplace would be phenomenal. And we also have the linked benefit products that have the life insurance element with them as well. And I will tell you that there'll be a panel like this 15 years from now with problems from those policies because they're not all the same. Big difference on the riders on some of those policies. There's really tremendous policies in that market space, but there's a fair amount of misinformation out there. Our goal, so you're not going to see the last of me, is that we're going to help 50,000 families with this. So what I want to make sure that the state does is to continue to create a strong marketplace. When I started in this, we had over 100 insurance companies selling long-term care insurance, and now we're down to just over a dozen. The good news is these are phenomenal insurance carriers. They're some of the strongest companies in America. But, you know, we have to do what we can to make sure that those companies remain viable as well. So I understand what it's like from the consumer point of view. For sure we understand this. We're talking to people all day long. But when we explain to them why the premiums are going up and what's causing that, and that in a way they've paid less than a current policyholder might for a new policy. Most people, in fact, I'll tell you a cute story. I had two people that had Fortis policies that were going up, I think in their case was 40%. We talked to them about the fact their premiums were going up and you know, what was causing that, and what they would now pay for a new policy if they would have waited to buy a new policy today. Even in light of the 40% increase, the two of them turned to each other and high-fived each other for how smart they were to have bought the insurance when they did, even in light of the policy increase. So what we wanted to do here today, and by the way, two of those other on the other panel, we're also two of our clients, so not everybody, you know, is yay, rah, long-term care. But, you know, what we're trying to do is keep communicating with people and make sure that they understand what they have and the value that we have. The other thing that I want to mention is that our small business, I'm a small business owner, we provide not only services to 25,000 policyholders, we have 5,000 agents that we do business with, and I also provide income and benefits to 16 families in our small business here in Minnesota. And if the market crumbles for long-term care insurance, so does the security for our employees and their families. I mean, this goes beyond what we're talking about here today. There's a lot of businesses that are supported by the insurance industry. And I have always felt like it was my responsibility as a small business owner to take care of those families. And I cannot do that if my own state makes it impossible for insurance companies to continue to do business here. So there is another side of this. I do want to thank the state because we need to keep looking forward for new solutions. And this past year, our state did pass legislation which makes the asset protection through long-term care partnership with Harlan talked about more affordable for middle America. We reduced, through that legislation, we're able to reduce the requirement of the 3% interest rate down to 1%, and this is something I would really encourage the other states to do as well. So we got it from 3% to 1%, because home health care is actually only going up 1%, and that so 1% insurance inflation would still qualify for the partnership now going forward, and that reduces the cost of a long-term care policy by one-third by getting a 1% inflation instead of a 3%. That's very powerful. So we're doing some stuff here in the state of Minnesota to make it more affordable for consumers to continue to buy long-term care insurance, and I thank the state for doing that. And I want to say something positive about the insurance industry in general. And 25 years ago when I started doing this, there was a little pie chart that talked about how much of the cost of long-term care, and I think, Commissioner, you mentioned it, the who's paying how much of the paid services for long-term care. And there was a little tiny wedge that you could hardly even see in the graph that was 2% was being paid by insurance. We've moved the needle. It's now 12%. 12% of paid services is being reimbursed by long-term care insurance. And I think in just a short period of time, I think that's a significant advancement. So anyway, I want to thank you for having this and to listening to both sides of the case. So thank you.
Thank you all for being here. We're